You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I don't know what you're going to say about Cooper's press conference, but like that guy, if what was smoldering within him could be taken and you would tell him, look, you know what would change the result of this game? If we smited everyone within a 10 state area of this place. And he'd be like, yeah, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that.
Smite, a great biblical word.
Just took out every.
And John Cooper is usually so even. Right. Even in what qualified for rage from him was still like, oh, the wrong yacht rock song played. But he was testy. And I think it was all just because of that weird finish. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Kadri had no idea that he scored. The rest.
He had no idea. Yeah. No, he skated off and it was like, I thought he was going to be set. I'm like, was that an amazing game winning goal that changes the series? Or is he just going to the bench on a board line shift? He's just milling about.
I was so confused watching it that I thought he was the only one that knew. That he was the only one that had the conviction to have thought that he scored, but it must have been the bench.
I was trusting him to tell me, because sometimes I'm old and can't see where the puck is, and it happens very fast, and I'm always amazed that the announcers get there as fast. They're getting help from those lights, because they always know before I do. I thought to myself, well, if the goal scorer doesn't know, he would know. He would know. And he doesn't think it's a goal. He's not reacting like he just made one of the biggest goals in that franchise's history.
I started texting Vasilevskiy again, incredible save, because his body contorted in a way and he didn't react like it went in.
Yeah.
It was so puzzling to me because then all the Avalanche players went on the ice. There was no goal light. The only person that knew it was a goal that was giving me reassurance was Ray Ferraro, because ESPN has this really wonky type of broadcast team. McDonough's up high. And the color commentator, instead of being up high, normally you see a third person on the announce team that's in between the two benches for an on-ice perspective. They do that game in separate locations. Ferraro's on the ice. And he was saying, no, that's a goal. While he's saying that's a goal, I see referees picking at the net. There's a puck in the net. They're as dumbfounded as I am as what's happening. And the Avs are celebrating a walk-off.
They look like police officers over an area of a crime scene that everyone needed to be careful around. It is not how you would react. You expected something decisive. If the puck's in the net, So does someone not know that the puck is in the net? Is anyone out there aware of whether the puck is in the net or not?
I saw one of the Avalanche defensemen skate in from the neutral zone, pointing at the net. The puck's in the net. The puck's in the net.
But he was the only one who knew. The other eight guys in front of the net didn't know. It was somebody coming from the outside.
And the Tampa Bay reaction was also puzzling. And when I initially saw John Cooper, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the head coach's comments in the press conference, it was very ambiguous, right? It was just like, that goal shouldn't have counted.
Well, he was being careful not to be fined there, right? He didn't want to be in that moment.
That or he was just as confused as everyone else because it felt like that goal shouldn't have counted just from the reaction because we didn't get the goal horn. We didn't get lights. We didn't get anything.
But away game.
I know, but we get the red light.
The red light, goal light, no.
You would agree with me that while it's not satisfying in any way to us, you want your glorious moment. You don't want milling about. You want noise and cheering and the joy of sports. You don't want somebody. One of the Panthers playoff games ended that way this year against Washington, where the ref just comes to the center ice with a mic that doesn't work and says, the game is now over. That's not how you want these things to end, but there is a certain perfection in this particular hockey team. There is no beating them unless you kill their coach and then set fire to their entire franchise and burn it to the ground, and then they will rise from it, and you will have to do it again with knives and artillery. There's a certain wonder and amazement in the fact that the only way to kill them is, of course, with a supernatural goal that no one knew was a goal that makes everyone mill about, because you're not going to stab them in the heart and just have them die. Like, that's not how it's going to happen. How are you going to get past Vasilevsky with a goal that none of us are sure is a goal or should be a goal, and it took you six men on the ice to do it?
Well, this happened when Patrick Kane scored the cup-winning goal against the Boston Bruins. It slid right under the Bruins goaltender and went right past the goal line to the side of the net. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, not even Doc Emrick.
Nope.
It could have been one of the greatest goal calls in NHL history. A title was decided and everyone was confused because they just missed it. This was different, though. This was a clear and obvious goal. Yeah. It just didn't ricochet out. It got stuck in the netting.
But two goals that came without hitting a stick, correct? That is also what beats Tampa Bay today, right? Two Colorado goals that did not come off a stick.
The McKinnon goal, his first goal of the series. He had a weird series. He was a guy that was on the ice. And after I saw Cooper's statement on that goal shouldn't have counted, I was like, what is he talking about? And then the Twitter detectives started coming on with still images of a line change in which McKinnon was still on the ice. Even, I think, the official score sheet.
It did. The score sheet had six players on the ice.
That's pretty damning.
Dude, if you're going to start screen capping how many men are on the ice during a change, you can't legislate that in the sport. That what happened with McKinnon happens 20 times a game. It has to be egregious. They have to be involved in the play. The puck has to go off of them. Tampa has to touch the puck and point to him on the ice. That happens so often. To me, it's lame. It had no consequence to the play. They got caught on a line change. It was a great play by Kemper to get that offense, that offensive attack going in that moment. I think you're grasping at straws if you're complaining about too many men.
Yeah, I mean, there was video that Sportsnet put out of the bench, and it seemed to show that McKinnon was on the ice for a full 5 seconds before eventually coming to the bench and the change happened. So by the spirit of the law, that's too many men, but I didn't realize until last night, number one, that's not reviewable, and second, this is kind of a subjective thing based off of who's standing by the bench, how long you take to come off, and it really is entirely dependent on the referees and the linesmen to spot that, and they decided it wasn't, and it's a good goal.
Well, we all know that refereeing and officiating tends to be different in the playoffs than it is in the regular season, and this is where that applies. To me, you don't let this goal in if there's some doubt about that sixth man. And the sixth man, to Witte's point, was on the ice for what seemed like a pretty long time. He wasn't involved in any playmaking, obviously, but he was well off the bench at that point. To me, that's six men on the ice.
Do you guys enjoy, I don't know, Mike, how much you participated last night, but we're talking about too many men, and I enjoy that while too many men were too many men, we had a podcast that was live with a lot more expertise than we have about hockey talking that's called Too Many Men, that they were doing a live fun show. What was their analysis of? I did not stay to the end.
Well, the too many men thing, I didn't watch their immediate initial reaction. That kind of trickled out after the press conferences, so I'm not sure if they signed off. I actually joined the live broadcast that the Too Many Men crew did last night. I really enjoyed my time with them. I always checked in during commercial breaks and intermissions to get their perspective on things. I would really like to know, because most hockey people that I know are like, you can't. That happens 20 times a game. Think about what we're talking about. That sport is so lightning fast, partly because of the line changes. You have guys coming on and off the ice, hopping over a mini wall with swords on their feet, and they make it look seamless. All right? You're going to have six guys on the ice several times throughout the game. It's impossible to not do that, and that's where I like the judgment call. If McKinnon doesn't actually impact the play, which he didn't, if Tampa doesn't make a play on the puck, doesn't get their forecheck going, they got caught with their pants down, and it had nothing to do with McKinnon still being on the ice. He didn't impact the play at all. For me, I let it stand. But 5 seconds is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's borderline tipping point.
It's a lot.
It's like 12% of a hockey shift.
It's past the tipping point with these stakes. Look, this controversial play very likely just handed Colorado the Stanley Cup. And you can't let that happen. And if nothing else happens here, I don't think Cooper will be fined because of this controversy.
Oh, he didn't say very much, though. He just left the press conference after one question.
But he said it shouldn't have been a goal. And okay. He'll say more today, I'll bet.
Well, but okay.
But it could be on the defense. It could be on the coaches. It's so ambiguous.
Okay, but at the very least, this should lead to a change where this is reviewable.
I would hate that.
Oh,
you can't review this. This is I honestly think it's akin to after an NBA basket is made and the referee has to touch the ball. Sometimes they touch the ball, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the player is in bounds when they check it in. This is a fairly innocuous thing if it doesn't impact.
It's also like the swipe down in basketball, where like sometimes it hit the finger of the player who held the ball last, but they say it's off the defender because he swiped down and knocked the ball away, and in real time it looks like he knocked the ball away.
It's not challenging goaltending in basketball, really.
I want to ask you guys this, because I've always thought of how absurd it is, really. The just with all the analysis that we can do now of things we care about, like football, like digging down on the numbers, like super analysis on how things are decided, who has value, who wins. I've always thought that football is the most absurd of these, with the randomness of people colliding all over the place, moving very fast, injuring bodies. Inches, really? Dallas' season's going to come down to, really, it's going to be about a second? Okay. Oh, really? Okay. This is random. Small things can change everything. This is how you take out the Lightning. Like, that team, to get through all of the things it's had to get through, all of the things that team has had to get to here, to be, like, on the cusp of, like, historic dynasty from any sport, the way that you're going to take them out is on a referee's call. The way that you're going to take them out is on random, is on an overtime. I'd really like to see this go to seven games, and you have to stab the champion in the heart in a way that I see, not the refs tell me on replay.
I guess I get what you're getting at in a macro sense, but Colorado has taken this. They came back from a goal deficit twice on the road in that game with a tummy full of burns. And I don't know if you've ever had a tummy full of burns.
You got to tell me more about the tummy full of burns.
You get the meat sweats coming from a tummy full of burns. You're not right for a couple
of days. How many tummies full of burns did they have out there? Were they playing through?
Oh, the coach already said it. Like, that was part of what happened in game three. The wingers wanted to go to Burns Steakhouse, and that's really the home ice advantage. It's not what Kadri said during the first intermission, where he called the ice garbage because it's 100 degrees outside and we're going to be yelling from mountaintops because the rising tides are going to drive us all there. If you watch the first two games.
Sinister laugh. What a sinister laugh from Whittingham at laughing at the apocalypse of all of us on a mountain from rising tides.
I love that climate change is even affecting the Stanley Cup final.
I don't love that that's happening. And why have 100,000 people been displaced by floods in China? Okay.
Well, there's a lot of people in China. I guess you could also apply that. Why? I don't want to talk about
that. Guys, we need to keep our eye on the ball here.
Oh, the puck.
On the puck. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We need to fix what happened last night. We cannot have the most dramatic moment of the season be unseen by everyone. What do we need to do?
Yes.
Glowing puck, goal line technology.
He's right.
All ideas
he's so
on the
right.
table.
He's right.
This can't be how the sport is decided.
He's right.
Sports championship was decided and nobody saw it.
That's
Sean
right.
McDonough was confused.
He's
I
right.
felt so bad for him.
He's so
because
right.
he has the call robbed from him. If you watch back the highlight of the winning goal, presumably, of the Stanley Cup final, he sounds confused. Everyone's confused. You can't have confusion in your most
Whittingham,
ecstatic
thank
moment.
Thank you for your indignance.
Happens all the time in hockey, Whittingham. Blackhawks Stanley Cup 2010.
Yeah,
same thing.
Steve Martin also.
I just got here.
I missed
it. Coffee machine didn't work.
Welcome.
What?
It just tasted bad, so I'm going to get an espresso.
I've been told that Stugat is coming in after saying he wasn't coming in, and I thought he was going to hold out just when he found out what Chris Russo makes a day. He left here disoriented yesterday. Disoriented by how much Chris Russo makes per day at First Take. He was stunned and shocked and left
this,
here.
Dan, this room was trying to say that that wasn't enough yesterday. We had to text outside experts. They're like, only 10 grand for one show? I'm like, 10 grand for one, 3 hours of work once a week, not even every week, 40 weeks of the year, $400,000 just to be a guest on First Take.
It's ridiculous, but that's what television money is. Who wouldn't do it?
Well, this room apparently would go higher.
Higher
Chris Whittingham
than,
would not do it for 10 grand.
Well, but this is, you got to consider the source, though, right? If it's Disney, if it's television, and that accounts for not 2 hours of programming, it's 4 hours because they replay it. That show makes a lot of money.
It might be 14 hours a day because I'm pretty sure ESPN News is now just a rerun of First Take 24/7.
You can replay it again and again and again, and you can also, what I love that he's bringing to the show that was not there before is now it's just turned into a secret history lesson in the middle of the arguing, because I love going back to black and white footage. Nobody in sports is doing that anymore in the middle of a debate show.
This voice needed to be heard, and I love how agitated young America is getting at it. However, it was ridiculous. That being said, whatever you're paying him, double it after his top five QB tight end duos that had Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Five behind the likes of Sar to Kramer, Stabler to Casper, Unitas to Mackey, and Fouts to Winslow. Fouts to Winslow was number one. Fouts to Winslow isn't even the greatest Chargers QB and tight end duo of all time.
Breeze to Gates?
No, Rivers to Gates.
Oh, Rivers to Gates.
Yeah, longevity.
That's ridiculous.
Breeze would also arguably have a stake in the top five. Breeze to Graham. If you're looking at it, the position has evolved so much that I think Delanie Walker has more receiving yards than John Mackey. John Mackey took fewer games to do this, by the way. John Mackey was a beast. I'm not taking anything away from John Mackey.
But I love that Chris Russo is here every Wednesday. You could laugh at him if you want. You could laugh at old age. I just love that after all of broadcasting has changed, as the white men get all the money everywhere, that the way that Chris Russo is going to climb back into the game is because he's bringing a perspective that no one else has, which is he is capturing the demo of people who want to hear argued on television that, yeah, God damn it, nobody would have beaten those 60 Celtics. Nobody.
You're right, Dan. There's just not enough old voices in media.
There really are.
Old white voices. He's got to be this. But if that show is going to be the standard bearer and symbol for what sports journalism becomes, one day a week it could be about the old white man who built sports radio on hatred of athletes.
I get what Jess is saying, but there aren't enough ancient people in media.
I'm doing my best.
Greg, and we've got Mad Dog Russo.
Right.
And I think that the young whippersnappers that follow sports and the Twitter generation and where everything is GOAT. Oh, Kyrie's got the best handles of all time. Steph is a great shooter. Every greatest of all time is something that happened since Twitter was invented. I appreciate that Mad Dog Russo is out there teaching the kids about John Mackey.
I am too.
I also love that Mad Dog Russo's young counterpart, who's rolling his eyes at the history lesson he gives on television, is Stephen A. Smith, 54 years old.
Gil Brandt, I think, is the tipping point on where we want voices for the aged. I read in the news yesterday that Rupert Murdoch is getting divorced for the fourth time at 91. And I'm like,
jeez,
you're 91. Like, at that point, play it out. No. No,
and it was his decision.
I don't know. I don't. It's a good question. Yes, I don't know whether
I'm sure
it was
he wanted
his
to play out the string.
I don't know whether he filed for divorce or not. But he's married for 6 years. At 85, he's saying he's happier than he's ever been. You're 91. I really thought to myself, really, there cannot be many courts filled with the records of divorced 91-year-olds. There can't be, can there? Somebody who's just really had it up to here after 60 years. At 93, someone leaves the home.
Hey, he's in his early 90s. He wants to play the field. You know, there's a lot of activity out there for a guy his age. You know, don't
you move to the Villages?
Yeah, there you go. That's for the move to Margaritaville. Go to a Buffett property.
I Googled the oldest known divorce. The oldest known divorcee was 101 years old, Harry Bidwell. He divorced his 65-year-old wife in 1980.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
They're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
In terms of longevity and a marriage coming to an end after several decades, I found a 77-year-long marriage that came to an end when a 99-year-old man filed for divorce.
At what age, do you guys not have this reaction to Rupert Murdoch getting divorced for the fourth time?
I think this is a question for Greg, because you've been married the longest. At what point, like, did you have a birthday where you realized, at this point, like, we're just stuck together now? Like, yes. We're too old to do legal.
Yeah, we're past 40 years marriage now, just barely. And I cannot imagine being divorced. I mean, we know each other so well. We have every sort of relationship, and yeah, it's too late for that. You know, what am I going to do? Start dating? Come on.
I am slightly curious as to what that would look like.
I would love to know what that
would
look like.
Perhaps you'd buy a new shirt.
Can we create a dating profile Can we at some point today create...
Right?
Let's try and see what we can lure for Greg.
Perhaps we cover all 10 toes.
On Tinder. Let's see what we can lure on Tinder.
Please, God.
Let's see if we can get a Greg Cody makeover as we try to make him. Look, there's an angle here. Chris Russo has just set the bar. Old white men who give you musty opinions are back.
Right.
And Russo's their pioneer.
Right.
And now is the time, Greg, to get, you know, big-headed with fame, leave your wife, start dating, create a whole new life for yourself.
Yeah. Well, what's the modern pickup line? Like, when I go into a bar.
None. It's a lost art.
Really?
It's a lost art.
I want to bring back the pickup line. Yeah. Because when I was dating.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
This is a good back in my day you have not done.
I would make a reference to, having watched Mayberry RFD. That was my favorite show. That probably wouldn't work now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. There you go.
Go ahead and do a back in my day, please. There's an idea for
Does
you.
Does RFD stand for something?
The pickup line.
He's a four, but he
Rural
references
free delivery.
Mayberry RFD.
Yes, thank you. Rural free delivery.
So basically, you got this man over here playing the field in an old-timers game.
That's exactly right. Baby! Probably does not work as a pickup line either.
Might have to actually wear the sneakers that Juju Gotti gave you to make you look cooler.
Oh, man.
Instead of the cartoon hobo ones that you wear where the top of the shoe is open.
Look, you all know I was a hobo for 2 years.
I don't think hobo's allowed anymore.
No, I said cartoon hobo. Okay, that is a reference to the Looney Tunes of the 1950s.
Right.
A simpler time, really.
I rode the rails for two years.
More racist time, but...
Listen, can I mention something else?
Very much, yes.
You can't say hobo anymore, which I agree with. You know what else you can't say? And I just heard this, and let me know if you think it's bad.
You're going to do homeless, unhoused?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. What I'm going to say is, and this is legit, I'm not playing this for a laugh, it's no longer master bedroom. You now have to say primary bedroom.
Yeah, I say main bedroom now.
Yeah, main bedroom.
I learned that. Yeah.
I just found that out. That's news to me.
It's okay.
We should have one every day. I'm sure this happens every day around here. Things we were doing all wrong. We could have like a segment.
I was a bit nervous there. Yeah.
I was so scared.
All of our sphincters tightened, but you know, other than that, we should do that every day.
Yeah.
I think we should.
I just learned a thing we shouldn't say.
He's always.
I'm going to say it right now on
air. Right. That's right.
Well, because we shouldn't. I'm schooling people. If you're still saying master bedroom, stop that.
I appreciate it. You're teaching the young folks.
I think, but this is something that can replace back in my day if you want. If we want to teach the young folks, here's how you could be a little extra decent. Does it cost you anything to learn this little thing? Now, the answer to that is go fuck yourself, of course. The answer to that is I will not govern my commentary that way.
That's the answer from all young people on all things. Go fuck yourself.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I will say it's an interesting time, and we're all scared to admit that we're trying to be progressive, and in our attempts to be progressive, we're going to have missteps. We're going to reference a bedroom as the master bedroom. We're going to say she and he when we should be more careful. That's one that I've got caught up into just because, look, I'm not afraid to admit it. Most of my life, referencing someone by a given pronoun was based off of looks.
Sure.
And now you have to be more careful, and gender identity is a more fluid thing, and we're all learning together. I don't think that there's shame in getting angry and correcting. I don't necessarily like how we're so quick to correct somebody with anger. If they're putting their hands up and they're saying, I'm learning, that I think that's a good thing.
Sure it is. I mean, if Jess wants to be referred to as them instead of she, that's fine, but it also may take me time to get used to that.
Yeah, you're in your 60s.
Right.
It was not something that you had. You're fully formed at this point. It's not something that you had to consider until you're 58. You're far more likely inclined to make a misstep in that regard.
Right.
Well, someone please just take it easy on the old guy. The old white guy who's made his career in writing columns.
There is That's a lane right. here Thank for you. Greg Cody following Chris Russo to still have a great white privileged career because he deserves it at the end. His musty opinions allowed to be a little mustier than most. Grandfathered in, literally. He's mad at his son, incidentally. We got to get to that in a second.
I'm interested. But I get what you're saying, Jess. But I think that if he refers to Demi Lovato as she, I think, and we correct him on it, no harm, no foul for me. Like it's just one of those things that we all have to learn together.
Yeah, it depends on what my reaction is to you correcting. If I harumph and make fun of the fact that she's no longer identifying as she, then that's on me.
But isn't that something?
If I'm saying, my bad. Then.
But isn't that the conversations that's happening all over any place where people are running on a platform of can we be less of an asshole? Okay, like let's not just don't do the thing where everyone's fighting about everything. People don't want to learn. Hey, I've been saying homeless all my life. Bleep off. Don't tell me to say unhoused. Like, this is how I've been doing it. Don't take my freedom. Get it. Get that request away from me. I'm defensive. I'm old. I'm proud. Give me the things I know. This is how I'm going to become old, defiantly so. Don't take my things. And if we can, I don't know. I don't like being corrected on this stuff. I don't like being embarrassed by this stuff. I don't like getting it wrong. And being held to a standard where if I get it wrong, I am now not just, we're going to have mockery here. Now you can get aggregated and it becomes dangerous because you've done the wrong thing. And now everybody's playing scared
right.
at microphones.
Yeah, often we don't necessarily get the newsletter that Ezra Miller is going by they, them. Sometimes you're just going to refer to Ezra Miller as a he, him, and then someone will correct you on it. All too often as a smartass, and you're super embarrassed by it. And now I'm learning to just default to they, them, their, and that takes repetitions. That's going to take time.
I think having well-meaning intentions is important. I think also like this room and this show in particular can't be the arbiter on like what constitutes a good intention, because historically we do not have any LGBTQ or non-binary or trans like representation in this group. I mean, we have a few guests that we've had on at times, but like we don't get to decide what is offensive to someone. And I think that it sounds like everyone is willing to learn and change, which is better than most.
Yeah.
But like I'm not the arbiter on what is acceptable or not acceptable.
No, whoever is offended is the arbiter on
right.
that. But you can also not be offensive in. Well, I guess if it's offensive.
No, you don't want though. You guys.
But you take it as a learning.
I'm telling you, though, that you say to the people listening to this, everyone listening to this, the offended party is the one that decides. Like the fight, this fight is at the intersection of no, it doesn't get to decide. The offended party does not get to decide for me, the person who has always been allowed to say whatever it is he pleases. I don't mean me, I mean the me that is objecting to.
He or she, Dan.
That's right. Or they.
Yeah.
Or they.
Them.
Can I get a list of things we could say and can't say anymore?
I would defer
no.
to
please.
No, I, you
learn as you go.
You won't read it.
You're an adult. Like, read some articles. Talk to some people outside of your friend group.
You think he reads?
Exactly.
Just default to they, them.
Just a little list. That's all I'm asking for, Jess.
You want someone to do the work for you. Just, like, figure it out. Like, you're almost a 50-year-old man.
I don't want Greg to get in trouble. I, myself, I don't want to get in trouble. Well, and so I'm just thinking maybe a little list, like a cheat list.
So, you know? So Walt Disney Company provided a little list in the form of HR training for 5 years, and you never did it.
True.
Stugatz doesn't really realize how good he has had it for a while in a lot of different places, not being asked to read anything. It's hard. Mike calls him the unlikeliest story in the history of show business.
Thank you.
And it's real, because at 50, he very much just wants the cheat sheet for, hey, guys, how do I slide out the rest of the way? Just never doing any of the dumb shit so I could do my dumb shit.
Map out the next 10 to 20 years,
just
please.
Can you guys just send me a list of things that will electrically shock me if I am saying, you ran into one of them yesterday without realizing. You're like, Giuliani cleaned up New York.
Oh, wow.
You unloaded.
You shouted that one at everyone proudly.
I did.
Oh, yeah, man.
What a terrible dude. I mean.
But specifically, how he did it. Yeah, he cleaned up New York. How'd he do that? Threw all the black people away. Just don't do that.
Okay. That's on the list?
That would be on the list. Yes.
Pretty much everything's on the list. Just if your mental governor tells you to be. Maybe I should be careful here. Just don't say it at all.
Huh. These two. I'm scared of Greg.
Greg scares me once in a while. I'm scared for me. My intentions are to always learn and to try to improve. And sometimes I think what I have to fight is a human reaction of when I get embarrassed by someone for calling me out when my intentions weren't impure. Then I'll get defensive, and I have to realize, no, I have to let that shit go. And
but isn't
okay,
that the
thank
lament-
you for the correction, and I'll get better with time.
Isn't that the lament of every person who would be under a scandal and say, well, that's not what I intended. That's not who I am. Like, to Jessica's point about you don't get to be the measurement on your intentions once this enters the news stream or the angry mob or the things that the comedians fear.
You're posing that what I'm saying is if, like, basically the bullshit apology of if I offended anyone—
That no. so often comes across as disingenuous. No, that like I can completely understand the offended party being like, oh, enough with if you were offended, if like I had good intentions. Like if you're again and again running into a problem of not just like people getting it wrong, but people doing so intolerantly, I can understand why you'd be like, all right, enough with your apologies and I'm learning. F-ing learn already, would you please?
I think there needs to be an understanding on both sides.
I think this is the responsibility of people with large platforms who either write for a living, have podcasts that a lot of people listen to. Like, I think it's just on us to learn and adapt. Like, our main method of communication is language. So it's important to know what language is inclusive and what language is not. And it should be our jobs to want to have an audience that can span multiple different groups of people and not exclude a certain group. And so I think it's just smart, and we're not trying to be assholes, so just like we should all just kind of learn it and figure it out.
And I think my intentions were always in the right place. I'm kind of satisfied with the rate that I'm learning to change set behaviors over decades. You can understand the difficulty in breaking some habits there, but I also feel like now more than ever I should make a more concerted effort to really examine my own behavior and my own tics and my own defaults when it comes to pronouns and stuff, because I feel like that community right now in history is coming under attack in physical form via social media. And I want to be an ally because I'm super supportive of human rights. That's how I view LGBTQ rights. And I want to show them through my actions that I can learn and grow into a stronger ally.
Agreed. What I'm saying is if I say on the air, not that I refer to it all, if I say on the air, I refer to Demi Lovato as her, I'm not doing it with any malice. I'm doing it because that's what I think of and
like,
upset at my whole life.
You're
saying it your entire life, though. That's right.
But you're doing malice, though, Greg. Again, like you keep getting stuck on whether or not your intent matters. Your intent doesn't matter. your intent, it can soften by degrees what the charge is from the offended, but right. you're going to keep finding the way to find your position on this. But I didn't intend, and therefore it's okay. And then you're going to keep getting defensive when people tell you, no, your intention doesn't matter here. Stop doing that.
Okay, but if I make that mistake, and you get indignant, like, oh, like that's so disrespectful when it's just an honest mistake by me, I'm not going to come back at you. I'm going to say, yeah, my bad. I forgot.
Can I still say choke? Just, you know, must win, do it again.
No, we're going to
say,
this is where the objections are going to start by
Speaking
degrees.
Of, you kind of sound like you're choking right now. Are you okay?
Well, no, I'm a little.
Jesus.
I have to be honest. I'm a little stuffed up. I took a COVID test before I came here. It was negative, but I am a little stuffed up.
It's getting to the point where I just don't believe you on that.
I don't believe
that.
I took a COVID test. I didn't come in here.
You don't say any.
I don't have a photo.
Stugatz, I
took a picture.
I didn't think you were coming in today. I thought you were holding out because of after learning what Chris Russo made yesterday.
Yeah, I was upset.
He should be holding out.
Yesterday,
doggy.
One of the most amazing things I've ever seen, Stugatz was threatening Chris Whittingham with his vacation days. It was so strange. Stugatz was threatening that he wasn't going to be here today.
He should be.
But you are here today.
Yes.
Where did you come from? When was this decided? What happened? Can you tell some truths here about what was going to happen and what has happened? Because I was not expecting you today.
No problem. And I think Whittingham has seen a whole new me. I'm serious. Like, he'll explain it in a couple of minutes. But I thought I was going to go to Cincinnati yesterday after the show. But I saw that to go see a dead show. But I saw the set list from the night before in St. Louis, and it was really good. And this show in Cincinnati, which was last night, was sandwiched between St. Louis, a good show, and two shows coming up at Wrigley.
Mm.
I'm going to the shows at Wrigley. Now, I decided not to go to Cincinnati, and I took a day off next week. How about that?
Stugatz,
that's the truth.
I believe you here. With Metalark, there really isn't a personal time policy. Just do your work and try to loop people in on it.
Free for all.
It's a little fluid.
It is.
Don't believe free for all is on the company manifesto.
I have to say, what a business model. Not built to succeed. You can't let people take as much vacation time as they need. What kind of an operation are you guys running here? Seriously.
what I'm saying is your presence on this show can't be on the whim of whether or not the Dead had a good set list or not before. Like that, it's got to get better than that. We got to get a little bit
not
more
your problem anymore, Michael. These are the doors of
correct.
Chris Whittingham that Stugatz will now try to batter with his privilege.
We're not trying to get better here.
I think I got better. Whittingham and I had a moment.
He asked you guys to give him a list so he doesn't have to read about the things he can't say the next 10 years to protect his career.
I think you need it as well. I don't want you getting in trouble. I'm thinking of all of us here, especially Greg. I mean, team player. But Whittingham and I had a moment yesterday where I called him, and I was so proud that I put together an email that has my vacation days clearly spelled out until the middle of August. And all I asked is Whittingham read the email and send me a text of approval, because there is no higher honor than Chris Whittingham being impressed with your organizational skills. And
doing the bare minimum of telling somebody about your vacation.
A lot of moving parts, Dan. I got two kids. I'm moving to college.
You want to be celebrated for doing the bare minimum of planning your vacation.
Yes, it's a mid-August. I mean, but it was done in a way that was very organized.
But you think this is heroic? Like, you think that?
Oh, listen, I got the I got the thumbs up from Witty, and that's highest compliment.
Yeah, that's gold.
You can get paid right
you're
now.
You're saying an email that you sent at the 11th hour yesterday regarding your presence on today's show was a pillar of organizational aptitude.
I think Witty knew that like 48 hours ago that I was likely going to be in today. I believe I told him.
I didn't know until you walked into the room. I was surprised.
You're right, Mike.
Likely.
I'm avoiding it, Mike.
Why do you still have like this ambiguity surrounding it, though? It's like likely.
There is none.
I'm more likely than not to be in. What does that mean?
It's not your problem anymore.
There's first class seats on the flight to Chicago from Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. I mean, worry about what
there's
you got to worry about.
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, this is Whittingham. I'm leaving today. But this is Whittingham's problem now. Okay. And listen,
We're all listening.
It's the construct of audio mediums is that we're all listening when you speak.
I understand that. I wanted to see where...
He follows the listen with the I understand that, which is the other crutch.
Last week was a testing phase for me in Whittingham to see just how far I could push him. And I pushed him way too far. And I've apologized several times.
You did it again today, Stugatz.
I did not.
Stugatz, no, I didn't know you were working until you walked into the room.
Happy to go home. I mean...
The news was broken to me that you were coming in today, like minutes before the show. When you say it's not my problem anymore because I'm not EP, but I think it's a shared content responsibility. Sometimes I'm scheduled for a work from home administrative day, and I look at the ensemble cast, and if you're not in, I feel the responsibility to come in and box other people out.
I will say that I him in today because I was told that Stugatz would not be. That's why I thought I was coming in today. So something changed.
It did. It did change. Now, perhaps it is my responsibility to tell everyone when Stugatz is coming in, but I'd also argue it's Stugatz's responsibility to tell everyone
he's
coming in.
Or he should just come in on the days that he should come in to go work like everybody else in the world who works.
Well, here I am. I mean, today's one of those days.
No, but no one expected you today.
It's a bonus.
What he did, I mean... He's the EP. I mean,
Greg is here today because not on his normal Tuesday, and he gets pissed off every time he doesn't. His schedule gets disrupted by anything.
Right. I'm sorry, that. Greg.
Yes,
no problem.
He doesn't like that. But you're not even number one on his shit list today. His son is number one on his shit list today. Now, Roy, are you going? Because one of the good things that has happened with this freedom, other than Stugatz taking advantage of the vacation policy, is that Roy and Chris Cody are headed now to Colorado because you guys are there to witness the funeral. You want to bury these people. If they're going to be buried, you're going to be there. If the monster is going to be killed, and all of these people, all of you, Stamkos, Kucherov, all of you, die. Die, Mother Bleep. This is the Die, Mother Bleepers Die tour. You're going to see a death. You're going to hate, correct?
That is correct, Dan. It's going to be a celebration of death tomorrow.
Wow.
It's going to be wonderful.
You're going with Chris Cody. Has he left? What are you mad about? What happened with you and Chris that has you came in here all snorting fire because Chris Cody had betrayed you in some way?
Well, Christopher's the kind of guy who never responds to my texts. He wants favors from me. Because he was at a concert last night, he's going back to 1997. They saw the Backstreet Boys, who I didn't even know still performed. At any rate, because he's at a concert, I'm coaching his daughter's soccer game. It's a bunch of 4 and 5-year-olds. And I'm out there trying to explain the rudiments.
He passed that off on you?
Yeah. I'm coaching his team. And if you ever tried to explain soccer to a 4-year-old, it's really a frustration, you know, because you can't even explain the rudiments. I'm trying to teach the goalkeeper, you know, keep your thumbs together when catching them. And they're like looking for butterflies. So anyway, it's a little bit frustrating. I do that for him as a favor. And then this morning at like 6:30 in the morning, I text him to say, hey, by the way, assume that I just sent you my show topics. I assume that we're starting the show at 8. Crickets, don't hear back. So I leave the house early, assuming we are starting at 8. I get here. Nobody's here but Whittingham, and which, by the way, I want points for being here early, which accrue to offset any time I'm late.
You have more points than Stugatz.
Thank you.
That right now.
Yeah. So I get here early.
Thanks, Roy.
And Christopher never has the courtesy to tell me. And then I find out he may be flying to Denver, which also would have been good for me to know.
You guys have it hard is the short answer.
Wait, Stugatz, why? He's like a 35-year-old man. He has to tell you when he's going on vacation?
It affects me. It affects my job. My job was to do the show today, which I thought started at 8. Now, granted, a half hour difference isn't much, but it's a difference of whether I get up at 6 or 6:30, which is a little bit of a difference.
It's a big difference.
Wouldn't that be Chris Whittingham's fault then?
Well, Chris Whittingham did apologize, but I find it much easier to yell at my son than I do at others.
Whittingham, this is just so that you understand, okay?
Good point. Never thought of that.
I've gotten to this awful place in life where my friends are burying their parents, just so that you understand. And I've seen some of the steps before the friends are burying the parents as Greg Cody coughs. This is you cleaning up the diapers of the old people at the end, Whittingham, just so that you know. This is you taking care of the needs of formed old people, one of them who's a big deadhead who can't be bothered to abide by any normal workplace rules, and the other one who's a coughing, heaving mess who expects his son to do everything for him, right. including celebrating him on Father's Day for the rest of time.
Right. Christopher is burying me. I'm not even dead yet. You know, it's not too much to ask for him to answer my text in a timely manner. When my text is work-related or whether my text is father-related, respond with alacrity.
Chris Cody, has, through his partnership with Sheets and Giggles, being presented by Sheets and Giggles, has carved out a travel day to Colorado to watch a team potentially lift Lord Stanley, and he missed the overtime game four for Backstreet Boys? There's just no justice.
Right. He also missed a 4-1 victory coached by me.
Attaboy.
By his soccer team. It was great. Kai scored 2 goals. It was a beautiful thing. 4-1. We're 2-0 now in the young season. The team picked the nickname, and they couldn't decide between 2 names, so now we have like a ridiculous 2-animal nickname, you know, like cheetah sharks or something like that. And so your hands are in after the game, and a bunch of 4-year-olds are going, "Let's go, cheetah sharks!" It's kind of crazy, but it was fun. Too bad Christopher missed it because he was watching the Backstreet Boys instead of flying to Denver. But what I'm saying is, as a father and as a coworker of his, it would be nice if he communicated with me a little bit better. That's all.
I apologize, Greg, for my role to play in the lack of communication.
Sure.
I communicate to our group.
I think you need to apologize to Stugatz here, too, for some reason, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I communicate to our group via Slack. That is an internal thing that we have. You're not on it. So.
I don't do Slack.
I thought it was 9.
Jack.
He asked me before the show, what's Slack, an app? What is it?
I still don't know what Slack is.
I'm not on it. You guys talking about me there?
It's what you get all the time for simply existing.
You know, back in my day, when you call somebody a slacker, that was a derogatory. And now it's so okay that you're naming Slack as something that's desirable, like a communication portal. What is Slack? I still don't know.
It's basically email without emailing.
We're not just email.
It's a workplace.
What are you trying to circumvent the system? Just email, for crying out loud.
Me and him just got here with our AOL. Just got here to email. Quit speeding up on us.
Slack.
The nature of the on-air partnership of Stugatz and Greg Cody is that they genuinely just agree with each other. But I did kind of get mad as Stugatz was nodding along at all the points that Greg was making about how Chris needs to be more communicative and more organized about the vacation.
Like, respect.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you. Yeah. It is respect.
It's his dad. I mean,
right.
But this is the thing. They wish to be served. Look, man, I learned this from my father. My father never looked at me like the boss on Highly Questionable. He's the only one who didn't. My father, he will always look at Christopher as his son, and that's all his son's going to get because he's a narcissist. Even more than my father.
Correct. Yes.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.